Hey, Michael Steele podcast listeners, Michael Steele here with another quick take from the Michael Steele podcast. Check out what's going on right now.
Welcome back, everybody, to Michael Steele podcast. I'm Michael Steele and enjoying very much my reconnect with Sarah Pan, who is she's not your typical activist per se. She's really honed in on the education in the cannabis space and making people aware of so many aspects and feature of the industry as a whole, the products, the science, the biology, which, you know, a lot of times we kind of look at these things, Sarah, and it's all one shot. It's all about the cash, or it's all about, you know, the restrictions that the government will put on it. It's all about the taxes. But what I appreciate about what you are doing and what you do with your podcast, she is the host, by the way, of the podcast Planted with Sarah Payne, which I appeared, by the way. So check out my appearance on her podcast as you listen to her appearance on mine. But you really try to square it out, you know, to sort of let's figure out where the four corners are here and really begin to understand what we're working with. As this industry is growing, one of the things that we talked about on your podcast and that I tried to make a pretty big deal about when I was at a cannabis convention a few years ago, ArcView, was this, the idea of the responsibility the industry has right now to bring the American people along in this process, to make sure that people understand that this is not, you know, an industry of potheads who don't give a damn about children having access to cannabis, or, you know, pushing out propaganda for the sake of raking in cash. That's not been my experience in talking with enlightened and intelligent people like yourself who are steadfastly, you know, making the case in front of policymakers about the industry. How do you, where do you see it right now as more states are coming online? People, as we noted, are, you know, starting to evolve into people, states, into recreational use. Where do you see the industry right now in the mind's eye of the country?
I see a lot of people really excited, and I see a lot of people really nervous. And what I always say to that is, I use the hashtag conversation is normalization.
Right.
Because people, when I've talked to people, whether it's a policymaker or a member of the public, what changes their mind is having the conversation with somebody else to see the impact that it's had on their life. Whether it's the cancer survivor that used it to get through their ordeal, or they have a family member or a friend who started a cannabis business and they start to understand, oh, there's so much more to it than I could ever possibly have thought.
Right.
Because it's about stigma. And also, you know, we're getting some good studies that are coming out, especially around stuff with like youth access. The thing that we hear the most when we're looking at, you know, policy is, you know, what about the children? And, you know, on oversight committee, we have somebody from the Unified School District down there. So we have these conversations. Right. And what we're finding is that in areas where there's legalization, kids aren't interested in cannabis, because all of a sudden when it's, you know, when it's legalized and they know that their aunt or their parents are partaking, right, it's no longer fun. It's no longer something that they shouldn't be doing. So they're feeling, you know, curious about it and doing it. And the fact of the matter is that when we have, you know, established brick and mortar, I can't tell you how many times I've had somebody come into the store, very much obviously a senior, doesn't have their ID and gets so mad that we can't let them in. And it's like, yes, right, I know.
I know you're a senior, baby, but it's like when you go to a restaurant and you order certain states, certain restaurants, you order booze, you got to show an ID.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there at the table. I'm like, do I look like I'm under 18? And the hostess or the waitress or waiter just laughs and goes, no, what's your ID? You know, you get it. I mean, I get it, grandma, I get it. But you need the ID to get in the store. So, but that's, what does that say though about the social consciousness of those proprietors and those in the industry, that they're not willing to take the risk and let grandma in the store with in violation of state law that requires that they check her ID when she comes in. Now, I'm not a numbnut. I know nothing's absolute. And there's someone out there who's skirting the rules and the laws and not doing it the right way. But it's kind of, Sarah, goes to, I guess, the falsehoods and the myths about the industry that may still persist today, that these are people who are on the wrong side of the law by virtue of the product that they sell or the product that they use. How do you address that, and how do you beat back on those falsehoods? What are some of the falsehoods that still exist about cannabis today?
But, well, one, that there hasn't been enough research done on cannabis. Cannabis has been used for thousands of years.
Thousands of years. I mean, folks, cavemen use cannabis, okay? The moment they figured out, once they figured out fire, cannabis was not far behind.
It's true. Well, and what we're finding is that as far as cultivation, that may be one of the earliest things that we cultivated. And we're not sure if we found it or it found us.
Right, right.
It goes anywhere.
Right.
So, you know, you have that, but you also, there is.
I'm sorry, you just made, this is probably so rude. I just had a moment when you said, whether we found it or it found us, you know, particularly out in your neck of the woods where every season there's these fires, right? And I can imagine back in the day, a field of cannabis, of marijuana just kind of burning, yeah? And little caveman sitting there going, why do I feel so good about this fire?
Right.
I'm sorry, but I mean, but you know, then they figured out, oh, that's what this does. But no, go ahead and make your point. I'm just sorry. I'm just being.
Oh no, no.
But it was just You're it right. just occurred to me when you said that.
That was like that was the first hot boxing.
Exactly. Okay. So, there is obviously a very high level of seriousness around it. You make a good point that, you know, some of the falsehoods is that, you know, it's not an industry that's serious about the science. It's not studied. We still don't know what it will do and all of these types of things. But we also know that there's some really good narratives that can come out of this product in terms of how it does help people, and those aren't myths. That's real. You can touch it. And a lot of people know, they see it from their grandparents or a cousin or a relative or a friend who are using it. People who know your story and were part of that story know the impact, you know, it had on you. So I guess my point is, there are living examples, real life examples that refute some of the falsehoods. True?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it can take some time for people to see it and understand it. But if you're paying attention and you're seeing what people are doing, I mean, okay, let's be honest, there will always be bad players in any
market. Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
But the majority of people who are working in cannabis are doing it because it's affected their lives significantly. They're just fascinated by it and they want to get involved in something new and different,
mm-hmm.
you know, or they're looking at the fact of how much prosperity it can bring. The green rush is over, straight up.
I agree. So tell folks what that is.
So you're not going to go into cannabis and make a ton of money. You're not. And if you're investing in cannabis, you better be looking at the long game. Don't invest in it and a year later ask where my money is.
I actually had that conversation recently with someone. I'm like, I'm sorry, bro. You should have read the, it wasn't fine print, it was bold print. But go ahead. You make a good point. People have this notion, just come in and you know, 6 months later, I'm going to be a gazillionaire.
Yeah, it's not. If you wanted to do that, you should have gone in when it was going for, you know, $3,500 a pound when you were worried about the feds coming in.
Right.
That's when you should have done it if you're looking at a green rush, because the reason that we made so much money back then was that there was a lot of risk. Now we're looking at taxation. Like in California, we have all these beautiful taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have a glut of cannabis that's going for lower and lower, and people aren't making money and they're starting to close their businesses. We're looking at major extinction events we have for the past 3 years.
Really? So it's progressed that much from the early days. Interesting.
Yeah. And it's, you know, because we have, and it's good. We need to have a foundation. We need to have rules around testing. We need to have rules around packaging. Although I think that, you know, it's excessive and it's kind of everyone proof.
Right. Is that sort of the normalization of the market? Would you say that's kind of the normalization of the cannabis market? Guess what? We're now big boys and girls. We're competing with the Wall Streeters and the Main Streeters. So we're kind of in that space.
Yeah, well, but you know, I mean, here's the thing too, Michael. I've yet to see a childproof cap on a bottle of whiskey.
Yeah,
fair point. And honestly, if we really want to get to brass tacks about it, nobody smokes a joint and goes home and beats their kids.
Yeah, yeah, they don't. Fact.
I mean, if anything, I've heard people say it's a tool for me to like be able to handle everything.
So you know? I don't go home and act out on the family. No, those are some of the dynamics about it that are very fascinating to me in terms of how people process their move into cannabis. You know, I have friends who've used it since we were in high school together. I have other friends like myself who've never used it, but are very strong advocates and supporters of it because we understand the science, we understand the history, and we know, and I value more than anything else, so for me, the medicinal side of it. For me, the recreational piece is like, okay,
yeah,
I've been recreating forever. That's great. But the more important thing is the medicinal side and the impact I know for my own family members who suffer from ailments that are helped by cannabis. So the reality is, it's a very different reality now, I think, and you make the point so well. For those who are looking at this, it really is becoming, well, no, it is an industry. And as all industries, it is now settled into that space where markets are created, markets decline, markets go away. And that's what you're seeing playing out right now.
Yeah. And you're seeing a lot of MSOs coming into play.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that there's room and there should be space for small producers that do artisan products, you know, because there is such, you know, we're getting some standardization of it, which is good and bad.
Right.
Because, you know, it's like years ago, I was in a research call where they were asking me that this company had a big pharma client. And they said, do you think, and this was when we were in medical days, your patients would be okay with, you know, cannabis from big pharma? And I said, yes and no, because there are some people who look at that as like the institutionalization of cannabis. Like, okay, this is good. Like when, you know, when Gupta was on CNN with stuff around cannabis, I had this woman who was in her 90s call me. She's like, Dr. Gupta says it's okay. I'm going to come in and check it out. Great. It started the conversation.
Right.
But the thing that people need to know is that a lot of people use cannabis medicinally as an active choice against big pharma because they've had such bad experiences or the side effects, they haven't gotten what they needed. And that's not to say that there isn't, I don't think that we should be looking at getting rid of traditional medicine.
Right. But there's some real concerns, and one of them being addiction. It's a big concern for a lot of folks who do not want to become addicted to certain, opioids or other types of medicines that are largely pushed by pharmaceutical companies. I mean, this is not, folks, this is not Michael and Sarah saying this. Just turn on your damn television. And my favorite part in those commercials is when they start going through all the shit that's going to make you sick, die, crazy, whatever. And yet they're still pushing that.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening today. Please go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review. Heck, give us 2 5-star reviews. I love it. Or catch us on Stitcher, iHeart, TuneIn, or wherever you get that podcast thing on. You know how that goes. Peace out.
All right, America. You asked for it. Or maybe you didn't, but either way, we have to talk. You're just in kind of a crazy place right now, Mr. and Mrs. USA. So, we are going to sit down a couple of times a week and work it out between us. The way Americans do. On a podcast. Hosted by Beowulf Rocklin. Weird name. Weird news. Weird politics. Weird country. Facepalm America. Listen to Facepalm America, a podcast that laughs at America and its politics, from Beowulf Rocklin, producer of The Rick Unger Show. Facepalm America, available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and wherever you download your digital distractions in audio form.